The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Today on the podcast, Democrats are still trying to delay the Kavanaugh confirmation.
This is insanity. I mean, get your clown nose out and make sure you put it on your face to listen to that segment.
If you are a subscriber to this podcast, which you are, or at least you're listening to it, you should listen this weekend as well. A new interview podcast coming out. This has Robert Spencer. He's the director of Jihad Watch. You know, it's 9/11 week. What's the state of the jihad right now? What's the history of it?
Yeah, this podcast, we have a little bit of it in this podcast, but also this weekend, podcast standalone, and something that you need to listen to and archive, because he's being deplatformed and worse.
Susan Collins is kind of almost being bribed to vote against Kavanaugh. I don't think this is going to be effective, but we'll tell you that story.
Good.
Also, Bill O'Reilly joins us for the full hour. Bill O'Reilly. Talks about the Supreme Court, talks a little Me Too, talks a bunch of stuff. Also, how you can help with Hurricane Florence and relief with Mercury1.org. We'll get into that a little bit. And a completely ridiculous New York Times story about Nikki Haley. Now, the story has some interesting details in it, and Jake Tapper and CNN kind of go through what really happened, but it's an accusation of crazy spending from Nikki Haley that is not at all accurate.
But what's interesting about this is that Jake Tapper corrected it. Jake Tapper, who is always fake news, CNN, always fake news, they corrected it. But the New York Times actually had that in the article as well. The headline was misleading. The way they wrote it was a little misleading because they buried some of the facts. But it really goes to show you, it's everyone who takes a story, doesn't read it, or is counting on you not reading the story and their spin on it that is really the fake news.
It's all on the podcast today.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Friday, September 14th. Glenn Beck.
Spartacus has had his victory. 4 days. Yes, the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee have done it. They have delayed Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation vote until Thursday. What a victory for Spartacus. All of the theatrics and utter ridiculousness of the past couple of weeks bought them 4 days. In the meantime, I also want to extend my congratulations for what else they've done. Nice work. Democrats, you have done an amazing job turning the Senate Judiciary Committee into an absolute joke. I seriously think everyone involved, well, maybe not Ben Sasse and Mike Lee, everyone involved should just now arrive at work in one clown car. This is ridiculous. I mean, are you engaging knowingly into self-satire? As if we needed any reason to look at big government in utter disgust, but nice work on giving us one more reason. Just for a quick recap, this confirmation started off with Democrats shouting down the Judiciary Committee chairperson during his opening comments. Then it rapidly devolved into a showdown between future Democratic presidential hopefuls desperate for camera time. Cory Booker calling himself Spartacus. I am Spartacus. Please, somebody pay attention to me. Somebody call me Spartacus, please. But they saved what I believe is the worst for what I hope is the last. What do you do if all of your insane theatrics fail? Well, you just allege sexual misconduct, obviously. Dianne Feinstein, the ranking Democrat on the committee, recently announced that she had forwarded information to the FBI regarding a possible case involving Kavanaugh. She gave absolutely no details. I wonder if it's Anita Hill. But she did mention that there were unnamed sources in New York. Oh, good, good, good. New York Times claims it concerns sexual misconduct when Kavanaugh was in high school. Let me say that again. When Kavanaugh was in high school. High school. okay, how many of us, you know, weren't exactly adults when we were in high school? Oh, I don't know. All of us.
Do we know if there was like a Billy Madison situation where he had to reattend high school as an adult?
I don't know. Maybe. This is her statement. I have received information from an individual concerning the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Now, that individual strongly requested confidentiality. They've declined to come forward or press the matter even any further than this. And I've honored that decision. But I have referred the matter to the federal investigative authorities. Wait. The individual does not want to be named, does not want to come forward, refuses to press this any further, but you've turned it over to, you're honoring that request by turning it over to the FBI? I have secret information about Senator Feinstein. It is bad. It is really bad. It concerns golden showers with elephants. She was humping Putin's leg. Well, I don't want to say anymore. It's not coming from me. And this person, I can't identify, doesn't want to come out, will not testify, doesn't want to press this any further. But I'm going to whisper this into the ears of the FBI. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to tell all of the American people about it. I'm just honoring the, you know, the request of the person who refuses to be named, does not want to press it any further. Are you kidding me? The FBI has already commented saying they are not opening an investigation. Why not with that kind of evidence? How do you not just throw him in jail? I'm sure they're probably a little pissed off at being brought into this theater of the absurd. But I would like to deliver the very hard truth to the Senate Democrats this morning. You've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. Brett Kavanaugh, when Glenn Beck is like, I don't know about Brett Kavanaugh. I don't think he's strong enough. Are you kidding me? There's parts of me that hope you turn him down. Just hope you turn him down. Because I would love to see this administration going, oh, okay, that guy was too extreme. Well, let me show you what's behind curtain number two. He'll be fully confirmed in 2 weeks. He will sit on the Supreme Court. Merrick Garland isn't going to suddenly materialize and conquer a Supreme Court seat by his own hand like Conan the Barbarian. Spartacus has failed. You have embarrassed yourself, you have embarrassed your party, and you have embarrassed the entire country. Congratulations. Here, we'll throw you another match. September 11th, 2001, we looked at each other, all of us, and said, oh man, doesn't it feel good that the nonsense has stopped? Doesn't it feel good that we're actually talking about things that matter in life? I'm never going to go back. I'm going to stay away. I said I'm going to stay wide awake. Look at us. Let me ask you this. We're still fighting a friggin' war that started in 2001. We're still fighting it. Can you name where our soldiers are? Can you name the countries where our soldiers are? Can you name what we're doing? Can you tell me what we're doing? Who we're fighting? God forbid you say who we're fighting. You can't say who we're fighting. Well, how can we possibly win if we don't even know who we're fighting? September 14th, 2001, we were beginning to see who we were going to fight. We were going to fight people with a perverted idea of what the world should be like. People who blew up these beautiful ancient statues carved from a mountain of Buddha. You remember that? They were World Heritage sites. blown up. Because, well, it's Sharia law tells us to. Molesting little girls, marrying them off at 8 years old. Female genital mutilation. 12th century, if that, might have even made the 12th century look like barbarians. Or the other way around. Now, can we talk about it? No. No, we really can't. Robert Spencer is a guy that we're going to have on the podcast this weekend. You need to hear him. Robert Spencer, and by the way, listen while you can. This is the biggest message I have for you today. Listen while you can. Gather as much information from people that you can. Print it out. I read everything on Kindle. I'm stopping. I'm buying every physical book I can. Because you don't actually own that. They can take that off your Kindle at any time. There's nothing better than a library that can be erased, especially if it's politically incorrect. Now, there's no evidence that that's happening or anybody's even thinking of that happening now, but it can. And in a few minutes, I'll show you what Google is doing and tell me that it won't happen. Here's Robert Spencer. Robert Spencer is a scholar. And he has been trying to warn the world about what he says is Islam. And he's technically correct if you look back to the Quran and you know what it means on how it's written, etc., etc. This is the way they're practicing it over in the Middle East is the way Islam is supposed to function. But there are millions of people. Maybe 90% of those who are Muslim don't agree with the old style. But you have to know what the old style is because those are the people trying to kill us. Here's a bit of the interview.
Some things that people would maybe disagree with. Some things that people should do their own homework and go, wait a minute, he said this. Let me look that up. And go to original sources, you know.
Yes.
But I haven't heard anything here that makes me say, well, I don't know anything that would make me say this, that you should be silenced.
Well, obviously, I don't think I should. But I think that anyone who speaks honestly about the nature of this threat and the fact that there are elements of Islam that give rise to violence. This doesn't mean every Muslim is violent, but that the ones who are able to justify their actions by recourse to the holy texts. Anybody who speaks honestly about that is nowadays systematically targeted and vilified with an attempt to destroy and completely discredit him.
Are we in McCarthy times?
Oh yeah, this is worse than McCarthyism. Those guys could work. You know, they may worked under pseudonyms, but they could work. I mean, I'm still doing this, but there's no chance I could get any other kind of work, even under a pseudonym, because it would be ultimately discovered, and then that would be that. And the idea that speaking honestly about the derivations of the jihad threat and its nature and magnitude today renders one a social pariah, I think, is ridiculous and evidence of how topsy-turvy the world is. But that's how it is.
Here's a guy who's been deplatformed, completely deplatformed. He is being squashed by all sides. In fact, in something new that the left has discovered, which I think is absolutely insidious, MasterCard has come out and said, we won't do any transactions on anything related to him. This is the latest. This is what they're doing now with gun control. New York State has encouraged those banking facilities to not do any transactions and not provide any financial services to those who manufacture guns or sell guns of a certain type. You know, the weapon of war, otherwise known as the modern sporting rifle. Is this the America you want to live in? Now, shouting fake news is not going to help us. Actually talking about the issues will. And actually finding ways to reach out to people who are on both sides of the aisle. And I'm not talking about the crazies. I'm talking about people who are beginning to wake up on both sides and saying, wait a minute, people are silencing speech. We cannot even fight a war if we can't identify who we're fighting or what we're fighting. If we said we were just fighting the Germans and we were told we could not ever talk about Nazism, let me ask you this. If we couldn't talk about Nazism, if we weren't allowed to know what that was, would you feel comfortable with Germans today? Because I wouldn't. Of course you'd be racist. Of course you'd be against the Germans and never trust them. If you were told you can't talk about Nazism because it was the Nazi ideology that actually changed those people, and not all of them. Hitler came in with 30%. A lot of people went along with it, but why did they go along with it? They went along with it for the same reason that there are people here in America that stay silent, because their lives are at stake because of the zealots that will kill them. I'm gonna take you to Google next. And I'm going to show you what's happening in Google right now. I want you to know that the voices are being silenced. I want you to know that I ask Bill O'Reilly, Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Rush Limbaugh, everyone. I think everyone on the right, we need to have a summit. We need to have no press. We need to have a summit, because voices are being silenced and someone needs to step to the plate that can provide a platform bigger than anything I can provide or you can provide that will guarantee voices not being silenced. And it's going to require all of us to come out of our competitive nature. It's going to require all of us to set aside our differences. If I agree with you 80%, or if you agree with me 80%, that doesn't make you my enemy. You're not 20% my enemy. We agree on 80%. We have to put our differences aside, and the American people have got to start understanding what is happening in this country, because it's not happening in Washington. It's happening in Silicon Valley and in the banking sector.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
The world is very, very complex, and there are many stories that are coming together. Let me go back to Robert Spencer. He is a guy who is being deplatformed. He is being deplatformed with financial services as well. MasterCard will not do business with anyone who does business with him. It's really, truly frightening. This is worse than the McCarthy era. This is a guy who is a scholar who wrote The History of Jihad. He is somebody who is very buttoned up. You may not agree with him, but you have to know history before you start to make claims. Have you read his work? Or are you just knee-jerk reaction? Here he is on the treatment he receives at universities.
And so I had a manual of Islamic law with me, certified by Al-Azhar, the foremost institution in Sunni Islam, where Barack Obama went to give his outreach speech to the Muslim world in 2009. And I opened it up and I started to read about how the homosexual should be killed, should be put to death, both him who gives and him who receives, the whole thing, very set out. The whole place started to boo and boo and boo. And I held up the book and said, you think I wrote this? You think this comes from me? And a young man came over in a kufi and a kaftan with the beard, and he hugged the Queers Against Islamophobia guy and said, "This is my best friend." And I said, "Look, I didn't originate these laws. Gays are being killed, put to death in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in the ISIS domains, elsewhere, anywhere where Sharia is implemented."
Listen, here's a guy. You can hear that whole interview. It's fascinating, and I highly recommend it. In fact, I would, I don't even know if you can do this, but I would burn it to DVD. I highly recommend that you listen to this guy and make your own mind up, but do your own homework. Find out why you disagree with him. It will make you stronger either way. So he's being silenced. Now, we know that Google, through some smuggled video, these guys think that, I mean, they just are terrified of America. In fact, please play the Google executive on the move to Canada. This is Eileen Naughton. She is the vice president of people operations at Google.
The second question is around internal mobility. Can I move to Canada?
Now, listen how she treats this. This is after the election.
Now, one could guesstimate that at least 50% of Americans are interested in moving to Canada right now. And that might mean maybe at least 50% of Googlers might be interested in moving to
Canada.
Not
a chance.
Toronto and Waterloo can't handle us all, I'm afraid.
But she goes on to say, but we will move people. Are you that unaware of what America is, what we represent, how important it is that we retain our Constitution and the Bill of Rights? You want to move to Canada because you're afraid, what? Your voice will be silenced? What? You'll be rounded up? Did you see the story from England with the LGBTQIS LMNOP groups that are now talking about humane gulags for those people who are homophobic or transphobic because they have to be removed from society? We are not a people that burn books. We are not a people that silence people. We cannot ever become those people. Right now, Google is in bed with China. They are developing Android devices, a Chinese search app for Android devices. Now, they've turned this down before, but suddenly, for some reason, they want to get in bed with Google. Or Google wants to get into bed with China. So this is, we've talked about this before. This is extraordinarily dangerous if you know what's happening, China 2020, what their goal is, what they will unleash, because it's already in operation in three of the cities of China. This is their stated goal of complete control of people, their communications, their thoughts, their actions, their spending, total control by 2020. Now, you would think that an organization like Google wouldn't want to have anything to do with that. But instead, they are doing development on an app codenamed Dragonfly. It was designed to remove content that China's authoritarian government views as sensitive, such as information about political dissidents, free speech, democracy, human rights, and peaceful protests. Google is in bed with China. If they will help remove speech in China, what makes us think they will not do the same to us or are not doing the same to us now? I want to read something in a book that I find frightening on multiple levels. And I really want to sit down and talk to this guy. I don't know if he will. We've had him on the show before. His name is Yuval Noah Harari, and he's just written 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. I just want you to listen to what he has just said is coming. The 21st century. What is it really going to look like? He says, Even more important, the twin revolutions of infotech and biotech could restructure not just economies and societies, but our own bodies and minds. In the past, we humans learned to control the world outside of us. We had very little control of the world on the inside of us. We knew how to build a dam and stop a river from flowing, but we didn't know how to stop the body from aging. We knew how to design an irrigation system, but we had no idea how to design a brain. If a mosquito buzzed in our ear and disturbed our sleep, we knew how to kill the mosquito. But if a thought buzzed in our mind and kept us awake at night, most of us did not know how to kill the thought. The revolutions in biotech and infotech will give us control of the world inside of us and will enable us to engineer and manufacture life. We will learn how to design brains, extend lives, and kill thoughts at our discretion. Still quoting, nobody knows what the consequences will be. Humans, after all, were always far better at inventing tools than using them wisely. It is easier to manipulate a river by building a dam than it is to predict all of the complex consequences that this will have for the wider ecological system. Similarly, it will be easier to redirect the flow of our minds. It will be easier to redirect the flow of our minds than to divine what that will do to our personal psychology and our social systems. In the past, we gained the power to manipulate the world around us and reshape the entire planet. Because we didn't understand the complexity of the global ecology, the changes we made has inadvertently disrupted the entire ecological system. And now we face an ecological collapse. You can agree or disagree. In the coming century, biotech and infotech will give us the power to manipulate the world inside us and reshape ourselves. But because we don't understand the complexity of our own minds, the changes we will make will, we do not know the changes we will make that if they will upset our mental system to such an extent that we too may break down. What are we doing talking about tweets? What are we doing fighting about, you know, Norm MacDonald said something, and so he's been kicked off the Tonight Show. If we're kicking people off the frickin' Tonight Show for having an opinion, what do you think is coming our way? If we have someone as powerful as Google getting in bed with a country as evil as China is and helping them silence voices and information, what makes you think they're not already willing to do this here? This week, I've presented evidence from Media Matters. They are already receiving raw data on all of the interactions online with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. They have access to the raw data? Who else has access to our raw data? I certainly don't. Boy, I'd love to see that. I bet Google, Facebook, YouTube wouldn't let me see it. They are also now advising Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter on what's offensive and what's not, what's hate speech and what's not. Are you comfortable with this?
You know, they passed a big law in Europe, was it the UK?
Yes. No, it was Europe.
Was it Europe overall, European Union law, that said that now all of these big tech companies have to, if you ask for it, prepare all of this information and show you exactly what they have and give it to you. So it's the idea being transparency, you own your data, all of that. Of course, then you're giving all of this really important data to someone who's much less prepared and able to protect it from God only knows who's trying to find it, from, you know, from hackers and things like that. But it's interesting to see, because now they have, I think it's Facebook has Weekly Standard, and they've put them on the fact-checking team.
Good.
Right? And that's a good thing, right? That, you know, you have a conservative organization that can actually look at these things. Well, they fact-checked a Think Progress piece, and now the left is making all the same arguments. Now, this has happened to them one time, and it's happened to the right a zillion times, but they're making all the same arguments. What, we're just going to have a weekly standard come in here and say that our article is wrong? They're saying they're going to cut the access for this Think Progress piece, which, by the way, Weekly Standard was completely right on. It is a complete lie. But they're going to cut the reach of that article by 80% because it's not true. Now, they are right. It isn't true. It's typical Think Progress, and they lie all the time.
But are you comfortable with anyone silencing anyone? Because I am not. I am not comfortable with the Weekly Standard telling anyone, don't run that story or reduce its penetration. And I'm not comfortable with anyone, Media Matters, PolitiFact, or anything, telling anyone on the other side, don't run that. I believe in the American people. Treat us like adults. And more importantly, respect the freedom of dissent. The freedom of speech, no matter how ugly it is the only way that people can remain free.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Cake bakers, quarterbacks, dresses, statues. Much of America is getting outraged for outrage's sake. And with all of the nonstop outrage coverage, we're actually missing out on the stuff we should be outraged about. It's time to put the bottle down and end our bender. In my new book, Addicted to Outrage, I talk about how thinking like an addict or a recovering alcoholic can actually help heal the country.
Addicted to Outrage, on sale Tuesday, wherever books are sold.
So we started this conversation with Bill O'Reilly a few minutes ago where, he said that it's just not going to happen to where we're going to advise and consent anymore. We're not going to find those people who are just wanting to read the Constitution as it was written, because we're too highly divided now, and we've politicized all this. Do I have that right, Bill?
Yes, and the best example is sanctuary cities. The mayors and the governors take an oath upon their swearing in. I'll uphold the Constitution. The Constitution says that you follow federal, state, and local law. If you're a citizen, this is your duty as a citizen. And all of a sudden, the governors and mayors say, no, we're not going to follow federal law on immigration. We're going to do what we want.
Correct.
So when you reach a point, and that is an extreme point, people should understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Been mainstreamed by the media, but it isn't mainstream. Okay, this is basically repudiating the law of the land and embracing anarchy. Once you reach that point where it's acceptable for public servants, whether they're judges or elected officials, to discard the Constitution at will, then you have what you have now, where nothing matters other than my politics.
Okay, so you said we're not going back there. We're not going back to a...
No, it's okay. Not going to happen.
So then this is an honest question. This is an honest question. Right now, we're in a world where if we're all being honest with each other, the left, the Democrats, they were not voting for Hillary. Most of them were voting against Trump. And most of the people that voted for Trump were voting against Hillary. It's not what they were for. It was what they were against. And we are now entering a time where we are so afraid of my side being silenced that I will vote for someone that will silence them instead. That's not good. Am I wasting my breath?
I think there are Americans who are genuinely enthusiastic about liberal causes in the Democratic Party and vice versa, traditional causes in the Republican Party. I think there are. But the fear that we're going to be a socialist country does drive a lot of people to vote for Donald Trump and Republicans. There's no doubt about
that. Right. And it's not. And it's It's not an unbased fear when you have candidates who last night in New York, and I'd love to touch base with you on this, you know, are socialists. They're declared socialists. And there's a difference between somebody who wants a welfare state and somebody who wants socialism. I mean, even the president, what was it, Denmark, I think, came over to the United States and said, I just want you to know, Bernie Sanders keeps saying we're a socialist country. We're not. We're a capitalist country that has a lot of welfare. That's different. So I get that. But I just want to ask you again this one last question, because I feel like you're saying to me, Glenn, it's not coming back. Well, if it's not coming back, then I'm wasting my time fighting for something that means nothing to anyone. I believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I believe once we are somehow or another reminded that that's what stops all of this nonsense, we'll return. But if we're not returning, then we should have a different discussion. And that is, okay, socialism or what?
Well, there are politicians and there are people in the judiciary, i.e. judges, who will uphold the Constitution, Beck.
I was told by someone that whose name you would know in Congress just in the last few weeks, and they said to me, Glenn, I can count the number of people in Washington in power that actually believe in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution.
Now, I'm not that cynical. I think there are people who do believe it, and those are the people that you have to vote for, and you have to promote what their policies are if you believe the person's sincere. But when you see how Cynthia Nixon, and I'll remind everybody that she played Nancy Reagan in my movie Killing Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
I know the woman for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How insane her policies are. They're not misguided. They're not wrong. They're insane. They would destroy the state of New York. Okay, 35% of the Democratic Party voted for her because, A, they don't know anything, and, B, they like to destroy the state. They want to destroy the country.
May I wait. May I translate and see if this is a fair translation? They don't, let me rephrase it, and if it's not fair, tell me so. When you say something like that, if I'm a Democrat, I'm like, you know what? They don't want to destroy New York. They live in New York. So, rephrasing, they are looking at her policies, and they think that these are going to work, and in my opinion, they're completely uninformed because we have a long list of history that shows they don't work, and they don't think that what's happening now is working.
Wrong, Beck.
Okay, why?
The moneyed Democrats voted for Cuomo, 65%. The people with assets, the people who have very expensive apartments in Manhattan and cars and jobs, did not vote for Nixon. But 35% of people who live in New York City don't have anything. They live in rent control. They live in public housing. They barely get by.
Right, and they don't
they
think that this...
They want to blow it all
because
up.
They don't think that this system is working.
Right.
Because no one is
so
telling them and showing them that it is, but they just think it's not working. So it's not that they... I don't think the average Trump voter, when he says, I want to burn the system down, he doesn't mean I don't want to live in America anymore. He means this, what's happening in Washington, D.C. is not working. Now, I'd like
sure,
to.
But it's not the same thing. I mean, one is real life and trying to get by and support your family and put food on the table. And the other is theoretical. We don't want a PC nation. We don't want these politicians who lie to us. We want a much more in-your-face situation where we know if Trump says he's going to do something, he'll do it. So it's different. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that the gulf is so huge between Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Stu, people who have actually worked hard, got an education, tried very hard in the marketplace to succeed and have have actually gotten some success in a system of capitalism.
No, but wait a minute. But in a system in a system of capitalism where, quite honestly, it was stacked against us. I mean, I would
anybody feeling sorry for me.
I'm not asking for that. I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying we do know what it's like to be in
We had to overcome.
I don't know if I'd use that phrase, but yes.
But there's a cadre, and it comes out of the university system and high schools and embraced by the media, of victimization. The mob, okay, that they tell you can't make it. White privilege, okay? You're never going to succeed, no matter what you do. This is the victimization movement. And that's what you're seeing with Cynthia Nixon and Bernie Sanders. They're trying to whip up this victimization that we'll give stuff to you because you can earn it no matter what you do.
Right.
It's an unfair system.
All right.
So that's the gulf. That's what we're seeing.
You wrote an op-ed today about evil, and I want to talk to you about this because it does revolve around your book a bit. And you're saying that it's people historically don't stand up against evil. And I think there is a chance that people stand up against evil, but we have to be very, very careful on encouraging them to do so, because we can push them into the arms of evil really easily. And I think that's happening right now.
There are two aspects of my vantage point on evil, and you were right. It comes off writing Killing the SS. And one of the shocking things about that book is that the concentration camp guards of Nazi Germany were merchants and farmers and bankers.
Correct.
And, they were
the average person.
Yeah, they were just people before the war was walking down a street, and all of a sudden they're killing babies and walking away having dinner. All right, you need to read that. You need to absorb it, because there's evil in every human being. Every single human being has a capacity for evil, and you have to recognize it, and you have to fight against it. Now, externally, we're living in a country now where we have mass killings in high schools. We have thousands of poor black people being shot in the streets in Chicago. We have clergy molesting children. What do you think that is?
It's evil.
That's evil. All right? And on a much lesser basis, but something visible, we have betrayal of human beings by their spouses. We have the media trying to tear people apart for ideological reasons. We have a justice system that doesn't render justice many times. All of this is evil. And we're not seeing politicians say, you know what? We got to really get the Chicago situation under control. Have you seen anybody do that?
No.
And I'm sitting there going, how much evil do you have to see before you mobilize against it? And that's why I wrote this Killing the SS. Because Germany, before World War II, is not different than the United States in 2018.
No, it's really not.
It's the same people doing the same things. Try to struggle to make a living in an atmosphere that was increasingly difficult. And what did they do? They surrendered en masse to evil. And you need to know what happened there, because it could certainly happen here and is happening to some extent. This Holocaust that we're seeing in Chicago, this bothers me to the core of my being. We're letting in poor blacks who are defenseless, okay? And we don't do anything about it? Where's the National Guard? Why aren't they on the streets of Chicago stopping the 150 shootings every weekend? Why? They could be there, but they're not there. Who gives a damn about them? No one. That's evil.
Bill O'Reilly, it is always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week. You can find Bill O'Reilly at BillO'Reilly.com. BillO'Reilly.com. His new book comes out the 18th, Killing the Nazis.
The 9th of October.
Oh, the 9th. The 9th of October.
You're going to be first in line, even though I sent you a free copy.
I read it,
You'll
too.
Buy another one.
I read it, too. I don't know about that, but I read it. It's excellent. It's excellent.
Thank you.
The 9th of October. Bill O'Reilly, thank you so much. BillO'Reilly.com.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
If we want the government to do less, then we ourselves have to do more. That was the founding principle of Mercury One, and that's why we have hundreds of semi-tractor trailers that are now moving into the Carolinas. We have volunteers. We have people that are prepared to feed 30,000 meals a day for the next few. We have people who are going to help clean people's houses out and take down the walls. If you've never been in a hurricane before, you've never seen anything like it. What happens to your home is, I mean, it just has to be literally gutted, taken down to the studs. If it can be saved, taken down to the studs, and everything is just destroyed. Every bit of anything you've had in that is gone. And it's sad. It's actually really sad. But anyway, we already have the people on the ground there, but we so need your help. Mercury One is was stretched to the limit last year, and we need you to help us out. Even if you made a $10 reoccurring donation, $10 a month to Mercury One, it would be helpful. But a $5 donation just for today would be helpful. MercuryOne.org is the charity where when you donate to a specific thing, 100% of that dollar goes directly to that thing. Please help us help others. Do more so the government can do less. MercuryOne.org.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.